Sean Radican back with an all ROH themed edition of the Radican Audio Showcase for Saturday, November 21st, 2008. And the feeling is blue around here, but we'll brighten up our smiles for some ROH talk. Derek, how are you?
Are you blue because we're in day 8 or 9 of our long national nightmare of some epic length Eddie Guerrero DVD review?
Besides that, I don't know.
I'm actually putting a poll up. Which will end first, the Iraq War or this investigative look at a 3-disc DVD set?
The Cold War.
Viva La Raza, whatever it's called. I've talked off air to you that I'm still trying to figure out why, of all the DVDs that are out right now or coming out shortly, why this one was chosen to be the one spotlight towards history. Whatever.
I don't know. This is the most comprehensive coverage of any DVD release in the history of the Torch. We've had Ric Flair, two Ric Flair sets, Shawn Michaels, Rise and Fall of ECW. I mean, what am I missing
World
here?
World class. AWA, Triumph and Tragedy.
Even Wade Keller didn't do the 38 days of AWA to commemorate the release of that disc, and I don't know. Maybe I should do the 45 days of PWG sells out or something. I don't know.
You got the Ric Flair shoot. I think there's a lot of very interesting DVDs that people need to be clued into. I just can't figure out why another Eddie Guerrero disc. If this was the first Eddie Guerrero disc ever. I could make a case for that. I still wouldn't believe in it, but I could at least make a case. This isn't even the first Eddie disc. I mean, I don't get it, Sean. I'm going to have to go on Facebook and poke or write on his wall, and maybe I can get the truth out of James Caldwell.
I mean, the news is depressing, to say the least. There's DQs in ROH. I didn't feel good for a few days this week, and yesterday I got home and there was a large box on my doorstep, and I pranced up the front steps like a child on Christmas running to his present, and cradled my priority mailbox and opened it, and there was the Ric Flair DVD, and I actually felt good for a while. Brightened up my day. I mean, it looks like something you'd buy in the store, which might be a first for independent release.
Oh, give me a break. We just went over last call last week, and that was a fantastic independent
release. That's not an independent release. They put stuff. They haven't put the stuff in stores for a while, but anyway.
But independent means not just... forget it. Okay.
I meant not in stores.
On ROH Audio.
We're talking about high spots. I mean, they look like... They made a cover for Bruce's shoot. They look like Ted DiBiase was kneeling in the middle of... Waterworld with Kevin Costner or something.
And it looks like sometimes I'm on my GPS unit, and I do deliveries on this place, Jupiter Island, down here. And when you go over bridges, you're basically just surrounded by blue. It looks like you're in, Kevin Costner in Waterworld. And that's what some of these high-spot photos look like. But I want to talk about that in our second audio, because I really want to get your first impressions of this, looks to be incredible DVD. There's a lot of positive reactions all across the net, but we'll save that.
But anyway, yes, but the news came down as grim as my best friend is his wife is expecting a child, and I think our social life together is over as we know it. No more ROH, no more WWE pay-per-views. I think it's the end.
I heard on a loop you've been playing Goodbye Stranger, Candle in the Wind, all the hits with the tears, the hickeys. It's been a sad day.
The End of an Innocence by Don Henley. Yeah, all those songs. So even the Flair shoot couldn't brighten up my day. And I woke up and read the Dayton results from ROH today. And just a depressing time of the year. But hopefully my spirits brightened with the basketball season starts in about a week. And that'll keep my mind off all this other crap for a few months at least.
So let's hit this one hard. You ready?
Let's hit it hard, baby.
Okay. What's up first? You're our host.
I thought you were doing the mailbag.
Well, you got to announce it. Throw some flavor into it. It's not about knowing how many moves you can do, like Jigsaw. It's knowing when and how to do the moves, right? So you give me the intro, and then that's how we'll continue.
All right, you know, it's a tough time for me to, you know, I told you earlier in a private conversation, Jannetty doesn't work well before.
Yeah, to get this drunk on, yes, I know. I know, I forgot.
You know,
let's hit the
usually not till 10 o'clock, then I can do my high spots and, you know, shine for the 30 fans in attendance.
Trying to look good for the rats. All right.
First one, from Dave, ECW.
How do you think Ring of Honor can make their shows flow better? Because Dave finds it a chore to watch some of the events. Or what do you think, Sean, that ROH could do to not make it so tedious to some people to clog through a three-and-a-half-hour DVD?
Well, one thing I would do is get rid of the student matches. That really is a buzzkill on the undercards. I don't think ROH DVD is really the place for a squash match, unless it's very rare.
I don't know if you watch all the video wires, it seems like the students, are getting a big focus on the characters. I know that I just saw there's a big push on the Grizzly Redwood. You know, he's doing some training stuff with Bushwhacker Luke. I see him chopping down these mini trees and eating flapjacks. You know, you got the Shane Hagedorns, you got the Bobby Dempseys. Do you think it's a concerted effort on Ring of Honor to make these very undercard guys to give them something?
Seems to be in the past few months, but I don't know. I think the biggest problem is the shows are too long, and the shows I've been watching seem a little shorter. But you know, for every 2.5 hour show, there's a 3 hour show. I think. I really don't want to watch more than 2.5 hours of wrestling unless I'm watching one of their bigger shows. I don't want to see a 3 hour show from Cleveland or Dayton or, you know, or Danbury or wherever Podunk town they go to. But I think they could cut down the length. I think they could I think they could mix in more entertaining and fun skits during the show. I don't think there's enough personality on the undercard. I think and Larry Sweeney gets too drawn out. So I think a lot of the problem is just a lot of the undercard stuff. While the wrestling's good, it's just some of the characters aren't all that interesting. And you know, we've talked over and over again about some of these problems. So I'm kind of beating the horse dead at this point. But basically, we need to get back to having good storylines that flow throughout the show, and having they need to bring new talent into the company and freshen up the matches and so forth. And keep the feuds to, 2 or 3 months, a month at minimum, instead of building them forever. I think that would make things more interesting overall, and for a short answer.
Yeah, and I think you're right. It's feast or famine with all wrestling companies. I think on TNA and WWE, we can make the case that there's too little wrestling, you know, and too many of these fucking skits. And Ring of Honor goes the complete opposite direction. It's almost all wrestling with no skits. And for, I think, a wrestling company in 2008, you need, you know, a hybrid of both. You need a good amount of wrestling, you know, and a decent amount of skits so we just don't get overloaded. So I think you made a good point there. All right. Second question is from M2J. Hey, Sean and Derek, I read on Slam Sports that Ring of Honor drew 750 fans to this past weekend's show in the Toronto area. Is this a good turnout for Ring of Honor, and how does this compare to Chicago and Philadelphia?
I don't think that figure's right. I think it was lower than that, but no, it's not. The audience was much lower, and they moved to another location for whatever reason from their first show in Toronto. And
if I remember right, they also moved way away from where normal traffic to get to.
Yeah,
I remember that. Yeah, and like
yeah,
I said, it's a big drop off. We're talking almost losing half your crowd. This is like the TNA house shows. They'll go into a new market, draw a great crowd, you know, perform a great show, which Ring of Honor did last time, and then they go back to the same market and it drops. And it's a big question mark. You know, it's really hard to figure out. I mean, you're really.
I think the answer is right. I think the answer is right in the location. I think they moved to a place that was out of the way, and.